This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, joined by Tina Camellia and Sharmila Ganesan. Earlier, we discussed how termites can help rainforests survive climate change. And now our second story, can traditional masculinity hurt boys? But before that, we do have a Twitter poll going. What's our question today, Sharmila?
We are asking you on Twitter, should children's toys be gender neutral? The options you have are yes, no, it's a big fuss over nothing, or leave it to the parents to decide. Tweet us at BFM Radio or join the conversation by WhatsApping us at 018-789-8899. And moving on to our second story, earlier this week, an article in the New York Times highlighted that new guidelines by the American Psychological Association on working with men say that males who are socialized to conform to traditional masculinity ideologies are often negatively affected in terms of mental and physical health. So while acknowledging that ideas about masculinity can be different across different cultures and age groups, the guidelines do point to certain common themes in this traditional idea of manhood, such as anti-femininity, a focus on achievement, shunning the appearance of weakness, and an emphasis on adventure, risk, and violence.
Yeah, so the release of these guidelines are actually in line with other guides that the APA has released for psychologists working with people of certain groups, such as minorities or women and girls. However, the association did not have a guide for working with males, particularly because historically males were considered the norm or the default. Mm. So it was only in August last year that the APA approved its first set of guidelines on working with boys and men.
Yeah, and it's been quite a week for conversations on masculinity, actually, because 3 days ago, the shaving brand Gillette released its new ad, which tackles the theme of toxic masculinity. Mm. And the ad is titled, "The Best a Man Can Be," and is a twist to the, you know, on the classic Gillette slogan, "The Best a Man Can Get."
Yeah, and the ad has been completely blowing up online over the last few days and is both being, you know, praised and heavily criticized for its theme of raising men who don't perpetuate the cycle of toxic masculinity. The ad takes on a host of related issues like bullying, sexual harassment, mansplaining, and this idea of the boys will be boys mentality.
Yeah, I think one of the primary questions in many people's minds would be, why is it necessary to talk about and deal with toxic masculinity?
I think both the APA guidelines and the Gillette ad are, you know, kind of a reflection of the conversation happening around the world on issues like gender, harassment, bullying, and the fact that something like the ad has, you know, evoked such strong reactions, you know, it means that they've definitely hit on a subject that is, I think, very much on everyone's minds.
Yeah, and in a larger sense, it also seems to be about rethinking how we as a society think of and react to men and boys for their own sakes as well as a larger sense. According to Professor Frederick Rabinowitz, who was one of the lead writers of those guidelines, the guidelines that the APA put out, the main purpose of putting them out is to help men and boys lead happy, healthy lives. He points to men having higher suicide rates, more cardiovascular disease, and also getting lonelier as they get older. And he says that they are, quote unquote, trying to help men by expanding their emotional repertoire, not trying to take away strengths that men already have.
The New York Times article also points out how not having a specialized approach to males might have actually been detrimental to them. For example, psychologists tend to overlook more inward factors like depression and tend to take a more general approach rather than honing in on factors that are specifically tied to gender.
So we have on the line Kogilavani Munyandi, who is co-founder of Good Kids Malaysia. It's a social enterprise that works with at-risk youth here in Malaysia. Kogi, in your work with at-risk youth here, have you noticed Malaysian men and boys having trouble with their idea of masculinity?
Yes, we have actually noticed this with most of the boys, the teenagers who we work with. They associate masculinity with physical strength and also the ability of them to maintain composure without showing emotions, without being vulnerable in front of others. They have problem admitting weakness, they have problem falling down and rising again, and they have problem when we pick up certain areas that they have done mistakes. Also, the men who is around the circle that we work with, which means the parents and teachers and caretakers in shelter homes that we work with, actually project the similar image. They actually teach the boys that you have to be tough. You cannot cry if you're feeling pain. You have to toughen up. You can't be weak like the girls. And these kind of phrases are often thrown to the boys that we work with, that we have a great deal of challenge breaking through that mindset of, this is how a man or a boy is supposed to be. You cannot appear weak in front of others. A very simple example that happened in our good kids class, we play bucket drum. So we stack up buckets, one against another, which sometimes get stuck and we have a little bit of a physical struggle to get them separated. So when I was actually doing that in one of the class with another female student, one of the boys came and said, come on guys, be a man and help them out. And you know, there are these two women struggling in trying to get the buckets out, to which I ignored and I just continued working on trying to get the buckets separately. And what I did eventually was I put it on the floor, I gave it two yanks with my feet, and eventually the buckets came out. And I turned around to the boy and said that you don't need to be a man to solve problems. What you need to do is use your brains and find a simple solution. This is nothing to do with being a man.
And to share his own experience with toxic masculinity, we also have with us one of our listeners and a self-avowed feminist, Kugan Puvanendran. Kugan, do you agree with the New York Times article that these traditional masculine ideas can negatively impact men and boys?
Yes, I do strongly agree with the article that traditional masculine ideas does have a lot of negative impact on boys and men. It all starts when we were boys. Growing up, there is a set of system that says that boys need to be tough, need to be aggressive, need to suppress our emotion, we shouldn't cry. And if we do all this, we are compared to being a girl. And why is that bad? So this type of idea clearly shows a problem. A problem which pretty much grows into the idea of being sexist and homophobic as we grow up. And as we, as boys, grow up as full-fledged men, the idea that was incepted to us as boys pretty much evolved into a strong belief that drives and feeds on toxic masculinity and patriarchy. So it is something very, very negative. As a man, we were always told to suppress our feelings. And according to the article, most of the mental health issues predominantly were males. And this is a clear problem. This is a problem which was pretty much evolving ever since we were kids. And the idea that a man should follow a certain code of conduct to be validated as a man is a clear problem by itself.
So despite, you know, the things that we just heard from people like Kogi and Kugan, both the APA guidelines and the Gillette ad have actually attracted a fair amount of criticism. In the New York Times article, they point out how critics from conservative media outlets have criticized the APA guidelines as suppressing boys' natures, and that this approach assumes that traditional masculinity is inherently negative.
Yeah, and the Gillette ad, you know, meanwhile, has actually currently over 9 million views on YouTube, but also has 536,000 dislikes. Mm. So critics of the video include various men's rights movements who feel the ad unfairly targets men and is emasculating. And the comment stream for the video is pretty much a battleground of people both for and against the ad.
Never read the comments.
Never read the comments.
Some people only go for the comments, but yeah.
Anyway, actor and Donald Trump supporter James Woods, for instance, accused Gillette of jumping on the men are horrible bandwagon, while TV presenter Piers Morgan condemned Gillette for virtue signaling and joining the pathetic global assault on masculinity. And I'm saying all of this with a lot of air quotes.
There's no other way to talk about people like James Woods and Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
So on Gillette's part, their official statement says that the ad is part of their broader initiative to promote positive, attainable, inclusive and healthy versions of what it means to be a man, and that brands should play a role in influencing culture. They've also pledged to challenge stereotypes of what it means to be a man in their ads, in their campaigns and so on. And the company has also pledged to donate $1 million a year for 3 years to nonprofit organizations that work on positive education and help for men. And on that note, we actually had a WhatsApp just come in. So a few more ideas for Gillette, maybe. One of our loyal listeners, Kelly, says, I think Gillette should go beyond this and lower the prices for their razors for women as well. There's no reason why it should be more expensive when it doesn't function any differently. We don't need gender-based marketing. Excellent point, Kelly. I hope Gillette is listening.
Yeah, so let's ask Coogan, who spoke to us earlier, about his thoughts on toxic masculinity, what he thought about the Gillette ad. Coogan, what do you think of companies such as Gillette tackling issues of toxic masculinity, bullying and harassment in their advertisements?
I think it's very refreshing to look at a company from a stature of Gillette to come out and challenge the status quo of toxic masculinity. And especially from a consumer-based company's point of view, it is very, very refreshing in the sense that in the type of marketplace whereby products for men are pretty much packaged into a very masculine color, such as black and blue. And if you look at a feminine-based company who releases men's product, it's always following a very masculine packaging idea as well. And this basically a start of greater things, I would say. And if you could actually look at the idea and the responses that the campaign for Gillette actually receives, it is not good, because people even say that keep politics out of our products, and mostly a man. So the idea of Gillette pretty much tackling this type of issue is a very strong message that times are changing. The idea of toxic masculinity need to be addressed and need to be erased from our minds. And it's a long way to go, but I think when a company such as Gillette comes out with this type of advertisement, this type of campaigns, which not just highlight toxic masculinity, but also harassment, and also make it a point to make a reference to the recent Me Too campaign, I think it carries a lot of volume.
So I think Coogan has a great point there, that a brand like Gillette sending out a message like this has the potential to create a lot of impact. And one of the things that particularly struck me about the ad, which is also related to the APA guidelines, is this phrase that we toss around a lot, that boys will be boys. So let's go back to Kogila Vani Muniandi, who's the co-founder of Good Kids, to talk about this phrase. Kogi, in your work with boys, how does the phrase boys will be boys impact the socialization of boys and men?
So this phrase, boys will be boys, is indeed toxic for the boys themselves. So they get an assurance that they are allowed to use aggressiveness when they have to deal with certain situation. As an example, if they were in a football field and there was an issue, they actually can rationalize into using aggression or argument instead of sitting down and talking and resolving the issue, because that moment I am playing football and I am a boy and I can only resolve issues like a boy. I can't choose any other mode. This is in fact very, very toxic for them. We need to stop using this phrase of boys will be boys, because this creates an impression among boys that they are allowed to do certain mistakes, certain things, because they are boys and they can get away with it. Yeah, as simple as them teasing certain girls or looking at girls and making remarks, when you correct them and they go like, but you know, we are boys and our hormones are designed in this way, so we can actually get away with catcalling, we can actually get away with talking about girls behind their back. So they don't realize that, yeah, your hormones are there and this is how it works, but there is something called social acceptance, there is something called rationalization, and you have to learn how to make the right decision in the right scenario. So we have to stop using that phrase of boys will be boys, because this is very, very unhealthy for most of our children and teenagers.
So in line with what Kogilavani just said, you know, that's part of the reason why this ad resonated with me so much, because it directly targets this idea of perpetuating that idea. But I was quite surprised at this backlash that the ad got, because I thought that perhaps it was an ad that was fairly inclusive in some ways. What do you guys think? Do you think it unfairly targets men?
Well, I'm still a bit on the fence about it, because I think it is jumping on a popular, you know, what's the flavor of the month? And it's obviously about, you know, being not being a jerk, basically. And it's riding on that Me Too campaign. It's riding on, whatever that's now today's main topic, right? But in terms of messaging, I think it is about time. I think it's brave that a company like that would be the one to do it. It's you will get backlash. It's like when Nike featured Colin Kaepernick after his kneeling down and all of that. So it's that's that bravery, that's that kudos that you need to give to them for trying, because not a lot of people would.
Yeah, and I'm sure they must have foreseen that, you know, they would get a backlash as well from not just the Meninist, but, you know, from a lot of people as well who take it as an attack on their on who they are.
And I think in many ways that as a you know, thinking from a more, maybe slightly more cynical perspective, like you said, these things are not done in isolation. They were probably well aware. And some of that controversy actually is built into the impact that the ad would make, that it gives them that many more shares and it gives them that many more views. Not to take away from the impact that the message can create. But I do think that I think that this wasn't something that Gillette would be unaware of.
Calculated risk, perhaps.
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, look at the Nike campaign and how people were burning their Nikes after Colin Kaepernick's ad. And people were throwing away their Gillette razors as well after this.
Yes,
this
and
ad,
people have
right?
said they'll boycott it. I think it's also interesting, right? Because these are brands that are considered to be so traditionally male. Mm. Things like razors and even athletic wear until very recently was very male.
Yeah.
And so I think that's actually what's prompting the backlash. The fact that, oh, no, it's razors, it's be the best a man can get, you know, and then now suddenly they're advocating against toxic masculinity. I think that's what's raised so many hackles.
And I think it's important to point that it's, you know, against toxic masculinity, not
exactly,
masculinity.
Exactly. Yeah. And to me, it's confusing when people conflate the both, because I mean this might be a little biased, but I feel like if you think you're being targeted, then maybe you're part of the problem. Because toxic masculinity, it's not, nobody's saying masculinity itself is an issue.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, on that line, we actually have a question going on Twitter about, you know, emphasizing gender roles. We're asking you, should children's toys be gender neutral? And so far, we've got 59% of our responders saying no, it's a big fuss over nothing. And 21% are saying, let the parents decide. While 21% are saying, yes, children's toys should be more gender neutral. So perhaps something to think about as we talk about raising kids that are more gender friendly, perhaps?
Not gendered?
Yes, not gendering your kids too early.
I don't know. I mean, as a parent myself, my child who, she's a daughter. My daughter plays with both, you know, tools, because her father insists on that. Mm-hmm. But, and, you know, she also plays with what would be called girly toys, like dolls and things like that. So she... It's a nice mix of both. I don't see any harm in playing with all of it.
Yeah. We have an interesting tweet that just came in that says let the we have a WhatsApp message that just came in from a Yo Ling Sui, who says, let the kids decide. And I think that's actually quite a cool approach to take.
Yeah. And you're very right, because my husband tried very hard to, you know, not put dolls in our house, but my daughter managed to find one and play with it. So she decided on what she wanted to play
with. I've never had dolls growing up. I always had teddy bears, stuffed toys.
And I played equally with things like spades and those chunkle things that you can play outside with, as well as dolls, you know. So I think letting the kids decide might actually be a friendly way to do this, rather than to impose ideologies on our children, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's all we have for today's show. And if you miss any part of it, you can always download the podcast on our BFM app or at bfm.my. And just coming up after the 3 p.m. news, I will be speaking to Sivanandi Thanindaran from the Asian Pacific Resource and Research Center about how women are actually disproportionately affected by climate change. And, you know, that's getting a lot more attention now, and how people and how the world is actually addressing that message. So that's going to come up just after this, after the news. For now, it's Father and Son by Cat Stevens. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.